Today on Brave, a brand new message from Jeff Schwarzentraub.
No matter what you're going through and no matter where you are, praise. No matter what you're going through, no matter where you are, pray. God's given us a gift through Jesus Christ, the one mediator between God and man. We can seek his face. We can hear God. We can respond to God. We can see him illuminate his word so we can know him even more clear. God gives us that privilege. Don't take it for granted.
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. The legendary investor Warren Buffett once said, "It takes 20 years to build a reputation and 5 minutes to ruin it." That's a daunting claim, but it reinforces the pivotal truth that real success isn't a short-term game. Instead, it's a matter of endurance. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff reveals the importance of spiritual endurance as he reveals what it takes to be strong to the finish in our faith. We're nearing the end of our study in the book of James called Walk Your Talk. And before we get started, let me remind you these lessons can also be found at our website, bravemedia.online. But now, here's Pastor Jeff with today's lesson.
In our culture, we often say, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And it's true. It's really true when it comes to sport, like in running a race. It's not where did you start, it's at the finish line, where did you arrive? Or if we watch golf, it's not who is ahead on Thursday or Friday, but on Saturday, but especially Sunday afternoon, who's in the lead and who's going to win? In different seasons, we don't take a look at the beginning of the season what the team's record is. We look at the end of the season and we measure, did they really have a good season? And the same is true for us spiritually. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. Jesus Christ came to this world. He died on the cross for the sins of humanity. He was buried. He rose from the dead so that anyone who repented and believed could have life in his name. But that's called new birth. That's just the beginning. And Jesus doesn't just want to save you. Jesus wants to live in and through you in this world so that you not only get to the finish line, but go through the finish line. I had good high school football coaches, and in high school, they used to shout at us all the time, don't run to the line, run through the line. You got to finish well. You got to be accelerating towards the end. The same is true spiritually. We don't get to take time off. When we listen to the Apostle Paul, he said in Philippians 3, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. At the end of his life, he said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Right? There's something about not just ending our life knowing that we know Jesus, but finishing well. Crossing the finish line of the faith and meeting Jesus Christ face to face only to see him say, well done, good and faithful servant. It's not just about making it across, it's about thriving through. As we've been studying the book of James, we've been talking about how it is you can walk your talk. How do you walk your talk during trials and tribulations and temptations? How do you walk your talk with your tongue and with wisdom? And how do you not show favoritism to other people? How do you become doers of the word, not just hearers of the word? And we took a look last week as we were culminating this story where he was telling us, here's a checklist for Christ's return. Christ is coming and here's 5 things you can do to get ready. This week continues that thought, but it's not just getting ready. This is what you can do to be strong all the way through the finish. How can you finish strong as a believer in Christ? Let me tell you why we need to talk about this. Because there are so few believers I find that finish strong. I'm not just talking about pastors who love the Lord and then have some moral failure. I'm talking about people who are naming the names of Christ that at some point in their life, when they die, it's just like, I don't know where they were at. If you want to be a person that finishes strong all the way to the end, I believe God has a word for you this morning. I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles up to James chapter 5, starting in verse 13. I'd like to read through the end of this chapter, really the end of this book, and then unpack this and talk about 5 ways that you can stay strong through the finish. He says this, is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? He is to sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. My brethren, if any among you strays from the truth and one turns him back, let him know that the one who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. And here God is telling us as he finishes up this book that he's used James, the half-brother of Jesus, to pen through the power of the Holy Spirit, how it is that we can remain strong through the finish and what we need to be taking a look at. And notice what he says first. I'm going to give you five. The first way to be strong to the finish is that you must engage God first. If you're going to remain strong through the finish, you have to engage God first. God needs to be a priority in your life. This is not the only text in the Bible that would highlight that, but notice what he says. In the context of all that you're going through, trying to walk out the faith, allowing Jesus to do his work in and through you, as difficult as it gets, here's what he says. He says, is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? He is to sing praises. He's talking to the whole body. He says, is there anybody here who's suffering at all? Is there anybody here who's trying to walk with the Lord? Is there anybody here who's allowing the Spirit of God to work in and through you and you're going through a difficulty? Last week I asked you to raise hands. Everybody raise their hands. Anybody had any tribulation? We all raise our hands because there's different seasons and some seasons more than others. When we go through suffering, what does he say? He must pray. She must pray. It's a reflexive response that what your first knee-jerk reaction is when suffering happens, seek the Lord. When suffering happens, pray to God. When suffering happens, invite God into the situation. When something happens, let the Lord be the Lord of your life in that situation. He goes, what about for those that are cheerful? What about for those that are happy? Anybody here happy? Anybody cheerful? God doing anything good? Then he's to sing praises. Now, I don't think this is highlighting that if you're suffering, you can't sing. Or that, you know, if you're doing good, you can't pray. He's saying prayer and praise are essential in the life of a believer, that it should be the reflex that we have no matter what's going on in our life, that we engage God first. Bad things happen. God, I know you're sovereign. I know you're in this. I need you right now. Good things happen. I'm singing to you, God, because it's all about you. You may have chosen to use another resource like my boss, my spouse, my kids, whatever it was, but I'm celebrating you and I'm praising you. He must pray. He is to sing praises. Well, I'm not that good of a singer. Well, take that up with God because he told you he wants you to sing. He wants you to sing to him. It's interesting. If you go to a rock concert, even people that can't sing, sing. Why can't you sing to the Lord? Just so you know, the reason that we spend time and invest in people who are gifted and give money to our worship team is not so that it prepares you for the preaching. It's not warm up so that you can get coffee or talk to your friends. It's giving you the opportunity to tell God by singing to him why he's so worthy of the depth of your heart. And there's something different between speaking and singing, isn't there? Singing something different. Singing comes from a deeper depth. That's why the Bible says, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord. Call upon his name. Praise him, all ye peoples. Why? Because he wants you to sing to him. It's a command. Well, I don't know that I like singing. Well, sing anyway. Right? That's what he says. And I love pastoring a church that sings. I like when our team pulls away from a microphone. I still hear everybody singing because it's not about performance. It's about the collective body of Christ singing and giving praise to the Lord. Now, why is this so important? Because you need to know in your life, no matter what you're going through, here's your two weapons, prayer and praise. No matter what your circumstance, prayer and praise. That should be your reflexive action, no matter what, because God's sovereign. So I'm going to be praying to him or praising him because he's worthy of all, no matter what's going on in my life. And we see this all over the place. God wants us to give him our heart first. Many of us are familiar with the scripture in Jeremiah 29, verse 11. It makes plaques that make their way into our homes all the time, says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for you to prosper and not to harm you. Plans for hope and for a good future. But verses 12 and 13 say this, then you will call upon me and come to me and pray to me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I want it all. I want to be the centrality of your life. I don't just want you to bark out a prayer. I don't just want you to sing a little song. I want to be central. When you're going through things, I want your life to be centered on me in your prayer and in your praise. That's what I want. In 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, says something similar. For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may support those whose heart is completely his. A heart that's completely his is engaging God first. God, you have my prayer. God, you have my praise. When things happen, I'm looking to you. When things are going on, I'm going to you first. It doesn't mean I don't have other people in the body that I'm trusting or relying upon. We'll get to that. But first and foremost, God, I'm engaging with you. You're my God. Or how about Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 in the Sermon on the Mount? But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Prayer and praise, let it be foundational in your life regardless of what you're going through, and everything around you will change. Your circumstances may not change, but your love for God will, and people will take note. Let me share you a familiar story. Remember when Paul and Silas got beaten and were imprisoned? And in Acts chapter 16, even though they had really done nothing wrong and they were beaten with rods, got put into the depth of the prison, fastened with stocks and all these other things. And the Bible picks up and says it was about midnight when what I'm about ready to read you took place. What would you be like during the day if people falsely accused you and tried you and then physically beat you and then threw you into a jail cell and then put shackles on your hands and feet, all because you just love Jesus? But notice what happened with Paul and Silas. But about midnight in Acts 16, 25, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God. What were they doing? They took this seriously. No matter what the circumstances, we're praying and we're praising. And notice what it says. I love this. And the prisoners were listening to them. You think? When things aren't going well in your life, when you're being falsely accused, when you're physically beaten, when you're mistreated, and people see you praising God in the middle of a bad situation and praying to God and trusting him in the bad situation, they take notice. So they're praying and praising, and notice what happened. And suddenly there came a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. Now all the prisoners are taking notice, like, oh, I'm free. Because of what? Because of their prayer and praise. The jailer's gonna kill himself. They're like, no, stop right there. Don't do that. We're gonna tell you about Jesus. And they lead him and his whole family to Christ and baptize him. Now, what they could have done is take counsel of the fact that they were mistreated and that they were abused and that somebody had talked to them wrong and they deserve better than that because they're only following the Lord. But no, they see God as sovereign. So no matter what happens, we're praying to you and we're praising to you in this circumstance because for whatever reason, even if we don't understand it, you are worthy and we wanna finish well. The reason Paul finished well is he understood prayer and praise as a weapon. No matter what you're going through and no matter where you are, praise. No matter what you're going through, no matter where you are, pray. God's given us a gift through Jesus Christ, the one mediator between God and man. We can seek his face. We can hear God. We can respond to God. We can see him illuminate his word so we can know him even more clear. God gives us that privilege. Don't take it for granted. You want to finish well, you want to finish strong, you want to finish all the way through the finish line, engage God first. Engage God first. And here's what you need to know. You're never alone. You're never alone. Jesus said in the Great Commission, I'll be with you always till the very end of the age. In Hebrews 13, 5, I'll never leave you or forsake you. There are times where you will feel alone, where you will seemingly think you're alone, but I got news for you, Christian. You are never alone. God is always with you, and when you pray and when you praise, you will experience more of his manifest presence among you. You want to finish strong all the way to the end? Make prayer and praise central to your life by engaging God first. Then he says this. He says, after he asks, is anyone suffering or cheerful, and pray and praise, then he asks this question. Is anyone among you sick? Sick here can be physical sickness. It can also be wearisome spiritually from serving the Lord so well. In Hebrews 12, chapter 3, consider him who endured such opposition so you will not grow weary and lose heart. That's that word sick, that you won't grow weary, you won't grow sick. Many times when you're trying to walk your talk, many times when you're letting Jesus be the Lord of your life and you're like, I'm not perfect, but I'm growing increasingly, I'm doing what God wants. I've suffered and I'm praying. I'm going through good times. I'm praising. But man, I'm at a place right now where I'm doing everything I know to be doing, but I can't seem to be gaining any more ground. It's just hard. It's difficult to do what God's asking me to do. Sometimes there's people in the body of Christ that really do want to get rid of a sin. It's not just like, okay, yeah, everybody sins, but they seriously want it gone, but they prayed and they tried and they can't seem to get rid of it, and they're struggling, they're weary, they're sick. Sometimes people are following after God, they get physically sick. There was no sickness before the fall of mankind, so in some way, sin brought sickness into the world. But what it doesn't mean is that when somebody has a sickness, it was caused by sin. When somebody has cancer, we don't look at them and say, what sin did you commit? You know, if somebody's got a blood disease, we're like, what sin did you commit? It doesn't mean that there was a sin that necessarily caused it, but in general, sin brought sickness into the world, right? And everybody is gonna age, everybody's gonna get sick, everybody's gonna die at some point in time. So here's what he's addressing. He's addressing those here who are spiritually weary, maybe physically sick, maybe emotionally or spiritually sick. They just can't seem to take the next step. I'm like, spent. I can't take another step with the Lord. I'm doing what he wants and I'm kind of spent. So here's what he says to do. Once you've engaged God first, he says this, summon faithful elders. Summon faithful elders. Notice what he says. Is anyone sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they're to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. There's probably no more controversial passage in the entire New Testament, certainly not in this book. Some people read that and they think this, okay, if I'm sick and the doctors can't heal me, but I come to a faithful church and the elders put oil on my head and pray for me, God must heal me. And if he doesn't, God's a liar. But I don't believe that's what it's saying. Because if that were true, then God is a liar. Because I can tell you, I've stood in the front of this church many times and prayed over people and anointed them with oil and believe fully for their healing, and they've been fully healed. And there's other times I've done the same thing, almost on the same Sunday with a different person, and they've gone home to be with Jesus. I don't think this is a flippant promise from God that, hey, if it doesn't work out there, I'm just here to heal all your diseases and just make you well all the time. Now, you need to understand something. I do believe in physical healing. I believe God can do whatever he's always been able to do. But what keeps me from the charismatic craziness is I also believe God's sovereign. I believe it. We call upon God's mercy. He can choose to do whatever he wants to do, or he can choose not to do it in the timing I want him to do it in. And I'm good with that because he's God. So let's read the text and let's let the Bible speak the way God wants to be heard. Is anyone sick? Are you weary? Are you at a place you can't go on with the Lord anymore, even though you want to go on with the Lord? Are you spent? Then you must call for the elders of the church. Meaning this, you better be part of a local church somewhere. You can't call for the elders of a church if you're not part of the church. I find that people that don't go to church call the church when they need about three things. I need a place and a building to get married or have a funeral. I need money, or the doctors can't heal me and I need to get healed. Can you guys do something? That's not what this is about. God's not out just giving flippant answers so you can go live your sinful life. God's saying you better be part of a faithful church, and only a faithful church can have faithful men who are eldering in the church. But when you're in a season where you're weak and you're to the place like, I can't go on anymore, God has established faithful men in his church. We have them on all three of our campuses to come to and to summon and to call and say, would you help me? So call the elders of the church and then do what? They're to do two things. Pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. So first responsibility is what? Pray. A shepherd's first job, a pastor's first job, an elder's first job is to pray for the flock. It's the number one requirement of being in this position, prayer. Pastors that don't pray are a dime a dozen. They shouldn't even be in the office of a pastor. It's the number one responsibility of a pastor is to pray for the flock. Number one responsibility of an elder. Come to an elder, because here's what the elder's saying when it says to pray. I can't fix your problem, but I know one who can. So let's call on him for you. And I love you enough to let you know I can't fix you, but he can. And he can give you the encouragement you need to take a step forward. So he's gonna call on the Lord, he's gonna pray, and then two, he's gonna anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. Now there's two words in the Greek New Testament to anoint. One is ceremonially, like you just kinda anoint with oil as like a ceremony. The other one is to rub on a wound to provide nourishment. That's this term. He's not talking about let's have a ceremony with magic oil. He's saying give the people some refreshment when you pray over them. If I pray over this oil, it's still oil. Okay, do you understand what I'm saying here? There's no magic promise God is making about the oil. Symbolically, what we're doing is we're saying, Lord, refresh this person in the name of the Lord. I'm calling upon you in the name of the Lord. I'm encouraging this person in the name of the Lord. I believe anointing with oil is symbolic of bringing edification or exhortation or consolation, like we'd see in 1 Corinthians 14:3. It's encouraging people to build them up, exhorting them. It's encouraging people to step up and edify them. It's encouraging people to rest up as you're consoling them. Whatever they're dealing with, I get it. I'm with you. I'm for you. And Jesus is for you. That's what it means to anoint with oil. It's refreshing to them. It's medicinal. And then what's God promised to do? Notice his job. Here's what he says. Anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. That means, Lord, for your reputation and the prayer offered in faith, which means I believe, Lord, you're going to do what you want to do, will restore the one who is sick. That literal word restore means to save or deliver the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. God's job is to do the refreshing. God's job is to do the building. Isn't it interesting that when the Lord speaks to you in a moment where you can't seemingly take another step and he touches your heart in a special way, even if the circumstances around you don't change, you think, that's what I needed. I can make it one more day. That's the job of the elders, to present you to the Lord like that. His job is to build you up. And he says, and he will raise them up. He will raise them up. That's a promise of the Lord. Now, here's the problem we have. We only see with temporal eyes. The promise of the Lord is he will raise you up. Now, here's the truth. Listen. Christian, listen to me. If you're a Christian who loves the Lord and you're sick and you pray for healing, 100% of the time, God will heal you completely. But it may not always happen in this life. He will. We're praying for healing. So if you come forward and you have cancer, I'm going to pray for your healing on this side of heaven. But I'm also trusting our sovereign God if he says, I got a better plan than that. We prayed for people in this church who have been physically healed. Several of you have. I believe God still physically heals. We have prayed for people in this church with just as much faith who are now in the presence of Jesus. I don't know why, but I do know Psalm 139 says, God has ordained all of our days before one of them came to be. You will die on time, I promise you. You won't get there 1 second too early or 1 second too late. The only thing you can control is the quality of your relationship with Jesus as long as you have life. And why is it sometimes that God gives one person cancer and chooses to give it to them for a period of 6 months to 3 years and completely heals them and they stay in remission for the rest of their life and someone else gets it and 3 months later they're in the presence of Jesus? I don't know because I'm not God, but I do know this. Our God is perfect and sovereign and holy, and he knows exactly why he did it. Amen? So I want you to know in this text is for the refreshment of the believer. There are certain times God will bring things into your life where you need other people that are spiritually mature to pray for you and to encourage you and to help you through a season. And there's no shame in that. There's humility in that. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Trust that the Lord's going to be the one that lifts you up, because that's what the Lord promises he will do.
You're listening to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, and the start of a message titled Strong to the Finish. Part 2 is coming up on Monday. But in case you've missed any of these lessons so far from our study, Walk Your Talk in the Book of James, you can catch up at our website, bravemedia.online. There you can also learn about Brave and our ongoing mission to save, mature, and multiply brave disciples of Jesus Christ. Today, we invite you to be part of our mission. No matter where you're listening from, you can play a part in this growing radio ministry by supporting our efforts with a donation of any amount today. Your gift, big or small, helps us take the life-changing power of the gospel to new listeners in your own community and across the nation. So don't wait. Reach out today and join the team by making a generous gift. Just click the Donate tab at bravemedia.online. Or please call 360-552-7283. That's 360-552-7283. If you'd rather send a check in the mail, our address is Brave Church, 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado, 80113. And if you live anywhere near the Denver area, we'd love to meet you at our weekend services here at Brave Church. Join us at one of our three campuses in Englewood, Westminster, and Colorado Springs. Or wherever you are, you can live stream our Sunday services from our website. For details, directions, and service times, go to bravemedia.online. At the bottom of our homepage, click the Brave Church button for all the info you need. And if you have further questions or comments to share with Pastor Jeff, email hello@bravechurch.co. I'm your host, Bill Carl. Join us next time when Pastor Jeff continues with part two of the message, Strong to the Finish. We're gaining biblical insight on how to grow our spiritual endurance so we can stay strong in our faith all the way to the end. That's next time, right here on Brave with Jeff Schwarzentraub. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.